Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, install a new on-demand water heater, and never take a cold shower again. Comfort Air Plumbing can help you with all your plumbing needs. Leaky pipes, new sink, new shower, new bathroom, no problem. Call Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing today, 325-3969, or online at comfortair.biz. Comfort Air, your plumbing experts.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
We'll see skies partly cloudy this afternoon with our winds breezy out of the northwest, with our temperatures fairly steady in the middle 20s. Tonight, skies will be mostly clear with northwest winds diminishing to 5 to 10. Lows will be dropping back to 7 above. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies, southwest winds 5 to 10, with our highs in the middle 20s. Sunday, mostly sunny with our highs reaching into the middle 20s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
And under cloudy skies across central Wisconsin, it's 20 in Wausau, 13 in Marshfield, 20 in Stevens Point, and a cloudy 16 degrees and with the northwest wind at 15, it feels like 1 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and it's time once again for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Pry. Your local investment specialist can be found by calling 715-422-0700, 422-0700. It's time for a year in review and a look forward to the new year. And with that, we welcome Pete Pry. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Pete.
Happy New Year to everyone here. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone here at WFHR and to all our listeners. It's always a special time of year and a lot of great things. And we got our snowfall, so all those people that don't think Christmas is complete without snow, I think they got their wish.
Yeah, they got their white Christmas. Well, the news out of Washington today is rather discouraging, and the market's kind of reflecting that today. Your take on what's going on?
Well, in the short term, obviously, we've got a lot of volatility. We've got a lot of positioning. We've got a lot of things that, unfortunately, we don't control, and it's obviously discouraging from a standpoint of in a time where, you know, we have to work together to for the greater good. There still is a tremendous amount of politics involved, and it will get done. And it never gets done on the timeline that most people would like it to get done. But I just don't see, you know, anything happening other than a kind of, all right, well, here's the deal for a month type of deal or something to get us. Because if you look at it, you know, everybody's got to get reelected, and, you know, everybody's got to blame someone. And so, you know, from the Republican side, with the Norquist pledge that seems everyone signed, you know, if they allow the tax rates to go higher because they can blame the Democrats because they didn't get this bill passed, you know, the rates go higher.
Right.
And they kind of do the Pontius Pilate thing, wash their hands of it, because it wasn't our fault that they went higher, and we honored our pledge. On the flip side, the Democrats, who are more inclined to be want spend more and put more in the economy, and don't really want to address that issue or entitlement issue, if they let this go and those spending cuts take place automatically, they've got the same situation where it was the Republicans, and then that becomes the starting ground because now the clock is ticking. All right, so I would sense that somewhere in the next. After the year, 30 or 60 days, that something will come to fruition. But in the meantime, fasten your seatbelt.
In other words, we'll go over the cliff.
Yeah, but you know, what is the cliff?
I mean, I was going to ask you about
that. This is a great marketing deal and stuff, but it isn't a cliff. I mean, I would bet the radio station's going to be open on January 1st. You know, this is...
It's not the end of the world, in other words.
Well, no. I mean, what happens is, you know, it's one or two steps downward, but, you know, people are going to have to pay more taxes, and we're going to have less spending available and stuff, but the world's not ending. I mean, yesterday it was supposed to end, or today it's supposed to end, but, you know, it isn't, necessarily this, oh my God, you know, we better, get into the bunker and make sure we have food and supplies and batteries and things like that. So, you know, I was telling some people in the last week that, you know, what this kind of reminds me of is Y2K.
You know, I was just thinking that myself.
You know? Yeah. Was there ever any more build-up for nothing than that you ever can remember in the last 25 years?
We had all of us at the station, or ran departments, had to come to the station on that New Year's Eve, leave our families and everything else, and we had to go and stare at computers, waiting for them to crash. Of course, it never happened.
Right. And, you know, that was the way it was in almost every industry. Oh, my God. And was there ever a more non-event that had a big buildup and it had major ramifications in the stock market as all those technology companies... their prices went higher and their business got better because, you know, it was a great panic. And so I've kind of got a little feel that what we're going through right now is similar. I think it's going to have a little effect, in the market. But if you remember in March of 2000, that was the peak of, all the markets. In fact, the NASDAQ hit 5,200 in that March, and it's 3,000 now, which is 12 years later. So, you know, ironically, nothing happened, but there was a residual effect in the market. And, you know, I kind of think we'll have a residual effect in our market, for a short term.
Okay. Let's take a look at this past year. How has the market performed? Did it exceed expectations? Did it perform about what people thought it would do?
Well, I think when you look at last year, and we talked about it on this show a couple times, and obviously you can't turn on any media sort, whether you're reading or listening or things that, you know, if we looked at it, the year began with Europe going to go down to the toilet, you know, what's going to happen with Greece, and from there it transitioned into, well, you know, China, God, they're growing 12% a year to 10% a year, 8%, and well, this year they may only grow 6% a year. Oh, they're going down. And then all of a sudden we had our election, and now in the fiscal cliff. So in the natural reaction was, wow, you know, I don't want my money at risk. And so I think the expectation for this year, based on all that news and anticipation of the worst, what you saw is that $250 billion went into bond funds, global funds, domestic bond funds, $250 billion versus $11 billion went into equities. And I state that simply because if you look at those numbers, the investors felt 2012 wasn't a year to be in the market.
Okay.
The reality is, it was a great year. It was a spectacular year. This is one of the best markets no one ever knows about. The S&P through yesterday was up 14.8% versus your 0% you're getting in your safe money market, all right?
Okay.
Versus the 1.6% you're getting in your 10-year treasury bond, all right? If you looked at the Dow, which is the 30 of the biggest companies in our country, with all paying probably the average dividends 3% plus in the Dow, that was up through yesterday at 7.75%. So global markets, yesterday, France, Poland, there was about five markets, doesn't allow me to give you the other two or three. But five markets hit all record highs yesterday. And so it was a spectacular year. Unfortunately, a lot of people didn't participate in it. But even if you did a balanced, a 70-30 type, the Vanguard Balanced Index, 70% in equities and 30% in bonds, which we all know are, the bonds are not necessarily as spectacular as they have been, to return 10.38% through yesterday. So none of those returns, I think, would be objectionable to anybody that didn't have money in the market.
Yeah. So sometimes when you step back and look at actual numbers instead of theories and fears and everything else, things are a little brighter than what you may think.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and I think it once again goes to the concept of long-term investing. And, you know, it's everybody talks about it, but who does it? And, you know, everybody's scared, and we've talked a little bit about the decade starting in 2000 through this year of the stock market fatigue that people have gone through. You know, 2000 to 2002 was a really ugly bear market. And then when you thought that was a bad bear market from October of 2007 to March of 2009, the market went in half. And then in 2011, we had a 20% dip. And this year in May, we had a 10% dip. So people are just really scared. And if you can get through that, and we'll talk a little bit when we start talking about 2013 and look what's going on. But, you know, on the one hand, you can understand it. But on the other hand, it won't come, that lack of investment won't come without a lot of consequences, because if you are reading the papers and you look at corporate pension plans, you look at certainly state pension plans,
mm-hmm.
Illinois, I believe, and give or take, I think their pension plan for their teachers is 75% underfunded.
Yeah, they're in a big hurt.
And there's a vast majority of these pension plans that are in that are some percentage underfunded. My point in bringing that up is that, you know, investing a great deal in bonds, getting you 1-4%, isn't necessarily going to get you back to closer to fully funded in things.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and take a look at next year. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Their number, again, to call your local investment professionals is 715-422-0700. 422-0700. Back with more right after this.
Got any shopping stories?
And I was out shopping for the perfect gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to buy it for him. It was a particular painting of a snow scene. Well, my husband went shopping. He had his day where he was going to go get his shopping done with my son. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from my son's mom.
Uh-oh.
I hate to tell you this, but Dad is in the mall looking at that exact same print. Don't want to get in the middle of this, but, you know, Mom already bought that for you. But the thing is, he didn't know that I knew about all of this. So Christmas morning, I have the video camera on him as he's opening this print and going, oh, wow, I've never seen this before.
He was going for an Academy Award, wasn't he?
He was for the, and I'm just sitting there like, you liar. He's like, what? What are you talking about?
Sure, 31 years of marriage, now you know. He knows how to act.
Start your day with a smile. The Good Morning Show with Bob and Tammy. Right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
We'll see skies partly cloudy this afternoon with our winds breezy out of the northwest, with our temperatures fairly steady in the middle 20s. Tonight, skies will be mostly clear with northwest winds diminishing to 5 to 10. Lows will be dropping back to 7 above. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies, southwest winds 5 to 10, with our highs in the middle 20s. Sunday, mostly sunny with our highs reaching into the middle 20s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Cloudy skies and 16 here at AM 1320. Welcome back to today's edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, their number is 715-422-0700. 422-0700. They're located right behind the post office in that, that small office building at the corner. Okay, Pete, let's look at the future. Obviously, if what what you say happens, and we go over that proverbial fiscal cliff, what's the anticipation for the new year?
Well, I think in the short term, what we've seen is that there was a lot of reasons for businesses to be conservative. All right,
right.
We had the election, you know, which obviously had two candidates who were kind of opposite philosophies, and depending on who got in, would give an indication of what direction or what new bills might be enacted. So, all right, well, let's not do anything till we know that result. Then we got the fiscal situation that is being debated, and in that situation again, you're looking at, well, the tax rates may change, investment tax, investment credits for capital purchases, taxes on dividends, taxes on capital gains, estate taxes, all those things are up in flux, and so not only we saw in the third quarter earnings come in companies, the highest number of companies actually in a couple of years come in with disappointing earnings, but I think that will have continued here into the fourth quarter. And so in the second week of January starts the earnings season again, and I would guess that you got a couple things going on. You'll see, I think, a lot of disappointing earnings. You had Sandy, obviously, that devastated a lot of different things. We had the reluctance to implement it because if you step back and you really look at the numbers and don't get swayed by that, you know, CEOs, a lot of their compensation is based on bonuses, and one of the criteria is return on investment, return on assets. The corporations in the U.S. have $1.7 trillion in the money market at 0%.
Wow.
At 0%, you are making no money.
Right.
But they're willing to do that because they need rules. They need guidelines. And we've now had so many years of having these short-term guidelines, short-term rules, that the path of least resistance is to sit in the money market and be ready when the rules are implemented. So I would guess that the first quarter, the first part of the year, when the market and reacting to earnings, and you look at the Europe situation, and there's just a lot of excuses for corporations, and some fairly legitimate that, you know, currently the business isn't as dynamic as it should be. All right?
Okay.
So that kind of paints a little gloomy picture to start, but in our newsletter that's going to go out in January, I write about all we need is rules. And what that basically is saying is that given some rules, and whether you like them or not is a different discussion, but if you know what the tax rate's going to be for the next 5 years, if you know that corporate tax rate is coming down, if you are going up, but if you know that you're going to be able to repatriate your money from the foreign countries to here to implement it in building manufacturing plants here, if you know what capital gains are going to be, that's going to allow people to implement the use of that $1.7 trillion. And when you step back and look at some of the leading industries of our country, you know, I'm not sure who said it, but there was as GM goes, so goes the U.S. economy.
Right.
And we've all heard variations of that. That's probably not the exact quote. But there's 240 million cars on the highways of the United States. The average age of cars on the road is 10.8 years.
That means there's going to be there's a need for some replacement down the road.
Correct. Absolutely. You know, that means half the cars are over 10.8 years, half the cars under 10.8 years, but 10.8 years. And obviously they're building cars better, but the fact is, you take that, you take in consideration the number of cars that were damaged or destroyed in the Sandy. We all saw film clips of that happening. You have a built-in demand, and you've seen auto sales gradually increase in the next 2 years. And, you know, we all heard the claims of how the Democrats saved the car industry, and, you know, that might be debatable, but you can't discount the numbers, and the trend's very good. You then go to another major driver, all right, and that's housing.
Okay.
Housing obviously has been in a slump, been in the toilet, whatever description you want to use. It peaked probably in 2007 and pretty much has been for 4 years kind of downward spiral in number of home starts and the number of sales and in a lot of the statistics that you judge what's going on. Well, last year, things have started to change, and we're seeing basically a dynamic increase from obviously a depressed base, but we think that housing starts could increase this coming year by over 25%, and again, from a low base. Inventories in housing for sales in across the country, in again, it's an average, but went down 20% last year. And if you step back and look at what's going on the marketplace, is that my first mortgage was 13.75%. All right, you can get a 30-year mortgage for 3.25 to 3.6, depending on the day. You can get a 15-year mortgage, 2.5 to 2.75. And you look at pricing in general. If you look, if you live in New York City or San Francisco or L.A. or Miami, we've seen some rebounding in prices.
Okay.
Right? I would sense that in our community and in central Wisconsin, you know, if you went in and probably put a bid for 10% or so under, 15% under the price for a lot of these houses up for sale, you'd still get them. But the point is, pricing in a lot of areas still hasn't rebounded. So you got depressed pricing. You got unbelievable generational lows in mortgage rates. And because of that, monthly payments on owning a house are less than a lot of rent going on right here. So the point in here is housing has tentacles that reach into furniture, appliances, carpeting, materials. Someone's got to finance that. So you've got a lot of industries that is going to continue to build, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part that I think is that, you know, one of the things in the 90s that really made the market skyrocket was this whole technology revolution.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we
right.
had, you know, everybody had a, you know, computer, and everybody started getting cell phones and
internet sites and
internet and all that. And that generated a lot of new businesses and a lot of activity and stuff like that. Well, maybe not to the scale, but certainly in that category is what's going on in our country with oil and gas exploration.
Okay.
In the last 5 years, our on a daily basis, we've gone from producing 15 million barrels per day to 20 million barrels per day. Our exports have decreased from 14 million barrels down to 8 million barrels. By 2020, and this is a study that recently came out, we could be net exporters. If you talk to people in the industry, they think it'll happen before that. And the point is, obviously, the effects of that are, natural gas, because it's plentiful here in the United States. Utility bills have stayed relatively stable gone lower. So the consumers are benefiting from that. Manufacturers are benefiting from that because they're not spending as much money. So they're becoming more competitive. When U.S. becomes a more feasible place to create, we have refineries now being built, because in Japan, natural gas is $13. Here, it's $3.30 this week. So that's creating jobs. So we're seeing, and then just the actual North Dakota is the equivalent of the 48 or 49?
Oil
49.
Gold.
Yeah. Everybody went out there to seek their fortune. Well, if you go to the west side of North Dakota and you see all those temporary shelves and stuff like that, so housing and the dynamics of retail being built, and God willing, we're going to get this pipeline that goes from Canada down to Louisiana. So there's really a lot of interesting dynamic things underneath this that, for me, any weakness, noticeable weakness in the first quarter that I'm looking at, has to be a really good 3 to 5 year entry into the marketplace.
Okay, so I like what you've been saying about we need rules. It's kind of like, whether you like the rules or not, it's kind of like when you were playing basketball. You probably, if you had a referee crew that was calling it really tight, you probably adjusted your strategy a little bit. Whereas if it was a little loose, hey, you can get away with some stuff. You know, business can react to the rules. They know they will always make money. There's always going to be somebody making money, but they're not going to play the game if they don't know what the rules of the game are.
Well, and that's why we talked about how much they, as evidence of that, how much they have sitting, getting nothing. And so the other thing that as you look and take a step back that I just want to mention before we close here was that we talked about early in the show the $250 billion that went into bonds. We talked about over the course of this year how much money has gone into bonds in all the market. But in terms of with inflation, in terms of the pension underfunding, in terms of a lot of things, on a 3 to 5 year basis, buying stocks is greatly going to outperform bonds. It's just, this isn't rocket science here. I mean, if you're getting 1.6% on the 10-year, that's the best you can do. You can buy IBM and Procter & Gamble and Johnson & Johnson and Abbott Labs and some of these great, great companies who have much better balance sheets than the United States and get 3% dividends, 3.5% dividends. They're going to be around. They're diversified across the world. And so you're going to see at some point that vast amount of money that's been invested in fixed income leave. And probably when it leaves and goes to mass, it will have a temporary top type of thing. But there's going to be a huge amount of money that's going to be coming into the market to try and get returns. And with that in mind, obviously, the Warren Buffett is buy when there's blood in the streets would be one thing that all investors should hold on to this year, because if we get a pullback, which I think we will, and you get that knot in your stomach, that'll be the time to buy.
Okay, and that's why you want to call Buena Vista Investment Management at 715-422-0700. Pete, to your partners and everybody at Buena Vista, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you, and look forward to another great year. We're going to be on next year, the third Friday, so we're going to have a consistent time, and look forward to continuing to speak and educate, hopefully, our viewers.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. And with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Coming up next, CBS News covers the world, and then it's time for Over the Back Fence.
Central Wisconsin's home for Yahoo!